It's at 9:19, and Don, can we call on you to lead us in the pledge of allegiance? Oh, do we need to do roll call first?
Yes, can we do the roll call, trustee Davis? Trustee Hanacek? Trustee Jones?
Here.
Trustee Perry?
Here.
And trustee Vickers?
Here.
Okay, we'll do the pledge.
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
There you go, I know.
Yeah. Okay, can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by.
Yeah.
Okay, and seconded by trustee Jones.
Okay.
And.
Report on closed session. Was direction given to staff?
No reportable action.
No reportable action, okay. And do you want to do your comments?
Yeah, just real brief executive director comments because we'll catch back most of that when we go through our org goal. So, but there is, I had two things. One, we got some information from CUSD in regards to updating our board policies. So we've been going through and presenting multiple policies to you guys each time with minor changes, like in some places in our policies it says CEO, and then other places it says executive, so on. So those kinds of changes. So we got communication that they had gotten permission from OCDE, and we followed up on that. That OCDE gave us direction, legal gave us direction that says we can change those things without having to burden the board on those superficial changes, the name changes and those switches. Anything that would materially change the policy, then that would absolutely need to come to the board. But to save effort and time and your time in doing those, we're going to take that directive from OCDE and go ahead and start making those changes across our documents without having to burden the board and the time, staff's time to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a little bit of a shift. And just kind of as a precursor to the beginning of next year, we're going to be in position to have a few additional open houses and grand openings. So I just wanted to kind of, you'll get lots of information as we come forward, but just so that you know kind of what's coming, we'll have a grand opening at Shorecliffs Middle School that we're going to be doing. We've been working with their kitchen program there, Nagel Hills. We have a big project in the library, putting a career center as a piece of their library, working with Jeff over there, the principal. We have a new career center at Marco Forrester that's just about finished, so Kat's been a great partner in that. So we'll have that one. We will be doing the grand opening for Tesoro's Esports. So the final equipment got installed just the other day, so we're starting to, our training calendar's in place there, so we'll be ready to go there. So we have a few of exciting events to kick off the year with, so we'll have some celebrations right off the bat, which will be fun to do. So just wanted to share those with you ahead of time. Like I said, we'll have lots of information coming out about those as we get closer to time. I'm going to reserve the rest of my comments for when we get to the org goals as we go through that, because that's all the work that we've been doing up until this point as well. So that's all I have.
Love it. Thank you. Okay, does anyone have any items they'd like to remove from consent?
I don't want to remove them, but I have a couple questions on two items, 2 and 4. Just have a question.
Okay.
So do you want me to do this now, Lisa?
Yes, please.
Okay. I have a question on 2. So purchase orders, and this is probably a dumb question because I guess there's no such thing as dumb question, ha ha. Okay, so lots of American Express charges. So how do we, what does that mean? And I think they're for a lot of the CTIG instruction, the material. So basically you just use an American Express to buy all this stuff?
Exactly.
Does it give you points?
American Express, no. But
Maybe we should switch, because there's a lot, $10,000. I mean, you've got a lot of $15,000. I don't know. I feel like we should be getting points.
Yeah, we've actually started conversations about...
Well, exactly. Oh, okay. I'm like, oh. Moving, that is something I as well have wondered about as well. There's different ones like CalCard and things like that that we're trying to get information for. I didn't want to try and do it at the end of the year, but hopefully maybe going forward because it takes a little bit.
Yeah, because this is like, you got 20,000. I mean, we've got, you've got huge amounts for American Express.
Yeah.
I know, so... You know what?
I'm
so glad I asked
this. Well, part of the reason why we have historically used the American Express is because of the way that we can issue the cards and the names that are on the cards. We may not have the same kind of flexibility with the naming on the cards. That's the only reason why we've been really hesitant about it. I know that getting money back would be nice, but being able to have like a name like instruction on it or something like that is kind of also important because most credit cards have to be issued to a person. So that was the our only that we're looking into, seeing how we can go around that. But that was why we historically stayed with the Amex.
I know there was a meaning for all of this, and you know, any expenditures, even though it says American Express, they underneath that you have the list of what they purchased with all of that, or travel, or anything like that. Okay, all right. Well, then I would move. Do we want to vote on them one at a time, or
actually, we can just.
Huh? We didn't pull it off. That's right. I just have questions. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I'd like to pull five because I actually would like to discuss and just have a question on it too. So I guess I'll pull that.
Are we
number
five?
Which one?
Number five. The law offices.
Okay. So then, should we pull four and five, and then we'll talk about four when we talk about
question, right? I just have a question.
Okay.
I just have a question. So, darling, I see some names here that I recognize. Just to make sure, I just wanted to understand, so it's a personal new hire, what, just because if someone can question something, they will, what would you, did you have a set process for these folks bringing them on?
The skills assistants?
The classified personnel new hire, would be...
Yes.
Yes, skills assistant. So you had a process for hiring?
Yes, we did. Okay. We actually took recommendations from some of the teachers as to who they would like because they're students.
Okay.
And then two of them, I guess, are coming back because they've been doing it, Belucas and Self. So they're automatically called back. And it's just for a very short period of time.
Sure.
They do all the new hire paperwork like anybody else. They're fingerprinted like anybody else.
But it's not like an open job. They don't
it's not
get to
really
apply.
An, no, it's when not I, really
know,
an open job. It's a recommendation.
I just want to make sure that these, I know they're working hard and darling, but someone doesn't cry foul, right?
Yeah.
So as long as there's a process, because I'm sure a lot of people go, well, how does that person always get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe my kid also loved working there, right? So just want to make sure you'll be able to explain
if it's
in
questioned.
Case it ever came through.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay,
all right, I'm
good.
Okay, then
I move approval of
consent calendars
items 1 through 12.
Great,
thank you.
Okay,
second.
Thank you.
Okay, so Jan, Trustee Davis?
Aye.
Trustee Hanicek?
Aye.
Trustee Jones?
Aye.
Trustee Perry?
Aye.
Trustee Vickers?
Yes.
Did you have a question, Lisa?
We pulled five.
Has been pulled.
Yep.
Okay.
I want to discuss it. So.
Okay.
Okay. And moving on to item number 13.
Yeah, let's
talk about that.
Oh, yeah, we'll
go ahead and
vote on it.
We usually
don't discuss it.
No, we only do that CSD stuff.
We only do that at CSD.
Great.
You can do it wherever you want.
This is great.
That's easier. Then you don't have
to. We're all friends here.
We used to have the whole consent at the end of the meeting, and that meant the whole, and CSD, that meant the whole staff that might
get
questions.
It's no problem. This is great.
Okay. We just have different district ways of doing it.
Yeah. This is great. Perfect. I just have a question on what if we don't agree to their modest $10 increase?
There's.
What if we don't agree?
Yeah, if we don't agree, we can tell her, I'm sorry, we don't agree to that. So unless we can go forward with our same rates, then we can part ways. It's not a mandatory item that we have to have them on retainer. We have OCDE's legal service that we can lean on when we need to. So that would be what I don't. I was going to say that's what I would expect she would do, but I can't necessarily say that, actually. So, I mean, we can push back on that if you would like me to. I'm happy to.
How often do you use it?
Not terribly often. In our closed session conversation, I used her extensively during that that situation. So they are a law firm that specializes in ROP work. So they have a lens that not everyone always has. I have called OCD in the past and asked questions, and we'll get a response that this is what I think, but I know you guys are a little bit different because you're an ROP kind of thing. So it's nice to have somebody that is very up to speed with the ROP world and how that the law applies there, because sometimes it is a little bit different, but not exclusively. OCD has been able to help us out in a number of questions that we had on different things, right. And we haven't had to go to Maggie and her team for those questions.
So the cost for these for 1920 was $7,944 and 35 cents. The cost in 2020 and 2021 was $27,879.25. The cost in 2021-22 is $521. And the cost in 2022-23 was $5,182.25. So
yeah. COVID.
Yeah, there was a lot of right. lot of legal work that Patty had to do during COVID to work right. things out.
Yep. But it's just to that point. I mean, $10, it adds up. And yeah. we're on a very limited budget. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I would like to give direction to see what they say.
Okay.
If they would freeze it.
Okay. I will.
Think
I'll reach out.
I haven't raised the rates in a while either, so that could be part of it.
Well, right? I mean, $10 is half of what we just voted on in salary an hour for a number of employees. So, mm-hmm.
So let's clarify. So you would like Dr. Weir to go back to them and say, hey, you know, my board is not keen on this. Would you just freeze that rate?
Could we consider keeping it at the same rate?
Right. So then if they say, no, really, we have got to do this, then what's the direction? They'll just bring it back to us. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you have to be efficient.
Right.
When you have a legal issue happening, mm-hmm. you can't be hunting around. And that gets more expensive, right?
And we have others that we use as well, right?
Not here.
Pretty much just, OCD and
yeah.
these guys.
Yeah, because it's different. We, CUSD yeah, has enough attorneys coming out of our orifices, but this
correct.
Is different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, does anyone have any comments on it? Does anyone have any thoughts on it?
For telephone calls and text messages, they don't charge.
Yeah, I have ability to call Maggie.
Research, they don't charge.
Not always. Depends on how extensive it gets. But yeah, they're pretty good. They work with us really well.
So
I'd add to that question, if we don't agree to the increase, then can we still access them if we don't have this kind of contract?
No.
In the next few months?
No.
And if they would agree to do something one-off on it for us because we have a historical relationship with us, I would fully expect that charge to be much higher as a kind of an a la carte kind of access.
Oh, absolutely.
It would be
I just want to have the discussion, so I don't know what anyone else thinks about it. But I'm fine if we vote and we all four say, let's do it. I'm fine with that as well. But I just wanted to discuss it. And just because, to your point, I was just looking at four and then moved to this one and then went, that's half of these six that we just approved's salary.
Good question, just a clarifying question. So if we don't pass this contract though today and consent, we don't meet again. So I don't want you to be in limbo. So I need to understand the mechanism with which if they say no, go pound sand, we want to keep the $10 increase, and really it puts you in, you know what I mean?
So that's my point, is if we agree to that, then the conversation is had and they say, you know what, we can keep it. Or they say, I'm so sorry, we can't.
We need to pass this today, I think.
Yeah, so.
Can we give direction that we have that conversation or not have that conversation and move forward?
Yeah.
I'm fine to move forward either way,
okay.
But I just was wondering what the board thought about having that conversation.
Okay. Or
could we say, you know, you go and find out, and then if the answer is no, can we do you call and get permission from each of us? I don't think we can do that.
No, I think we might be better if you guys could give me a direction.
We could approve it. That
yes.
Pending.
And
yeah.
Deny
yeah.
100%.
Yeah. So the action would be I need to give them a call and see if we can lock in our rate at our current rate, not agreeing to the additional 10, mm-hmm. and try it. And if they do that, great. And if they say no, they don't.
We say okay, and we move forward.
Yeah, so
that's what I think.
Okay. So, okay. I still don't understand the don't part. If they say no.
Well I'm hearing Lisa say she feels good about doing this either way, but
okay.
She wants me to.
Thank you. I didn't hear that.
She wants me to attempt to hold the rate.
Okay, so we're good either way. Okay.
For negotiating something.
And also, do you think that would be appropriate? I mean,
sure. It's always a negotiation. And then I can put that in my board update to you guys and let you know the result of that conversation so that we know which way it went, if we were able to hold the rate or if we weren't able. And that way, that's the information item back to you guys.
And it just reminds them that we actually have to be really tight on our budget. Mm-hmm. So if there's a way that they could work with us, that would be great. That's my thought.
Maggie will not take offense to that at all.
Whenever possible.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So because it's one of the things I think in CUSD is we don't use them enough. We go to, you know, one of these paid attorneys at the drop of a hat when I tend to think that OCD, what do you do in the Luna?
Well, don't ask. Years ago, it was the fact that you didn't necessarily get the best legal advice from the county. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That was definitely a thing. But, you know, I don't know. We use them, I'm sure, but we also have various firms for different things, whether it's special ed or whether it's personnel. Around.
Yeah.
Because you really need
right when it's something very specific, like we're trying to sell some properties, for example, and I wouldn't expect OCD lawyers to be able to help with that. Or you're suing somebody, no. But if it's like, well, this teacher put a pride flag in their room, can you tell teachers they can't do that kind of thing, where it's a general sort of a question.
Yeah, we have a lot of procedural questions that we ask them that's very kind of lockstep, just to get. To make sure that we're doing things the right way, or if we need to include this other piece in something that we call them a lot for those kinds of things. And they've been great. They've been real responsive.
And I think as a board, any board, as everybody gets better at their positions and what they do, they're able to make those decisions without running to an attorney every 5 seconds.
Yeah.
When I was first on CUSD, we did not have a process of running to the board or to an attorney for simplest, you know, things. So that's just like a thing. So, okay, well, I'm good. So I like that motion.
So I will reach out and report back.
That, and she says, what about a compromise of $5? And you both win.
$5. Okay, better.
She is trading. She's doing her stuff.
Yeah. If you guys are okay with me negotiating for her with the rate, not to exceed the $10 that she was requested, then I'm happy to do that and then report back to you the results of that negotiation with her.
Yeah, we don't trust you. You could end up getting $20. Right.
Exactly.
Whatever. I think we have
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
So our vote is 5-0.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to discussion action items number 13.
And that is me for our proposed budget for 2023-24. So it's my privilege again to present for your consideration College and Career Advantage's proposed budget for fiscal year 23-24. And as I tend to say, everything that I'm about to talk about is itemized fully in the 58-page tax report that's in our budget and summarized in the 3-page memo. But I'd like to give you a few highlights on things that I'd like to bring to your attention. I believe what's most important thing to note is that at this time of the reporting, we are continuing to project that CCA will be in a positive financial position for 23-24, as well as for subsequent fiscal years of 24-25 and 25-26. So while preparing the proposed budget for fiscal year 23-24, the estimated actuals for 22-23 were calculated. This helped to determine if we would have carryover of our grants for next year's fiscal year. This, of course, will be fully determined after we close our books for the summer and will be updated for the 22-23 unaudited actuals in September, thus updating our 23-24 budgeting at first interim in December. So the revenues for consideration that we're proposing for the 23-24 include the CTE incentive grant, or as we call it, CTIG, for nearly $3.2 million, with a carryover from this year of a little over $1 million. The K-12 Strong Workforce grant that we get is $130,000, with a carryover from the round 5 that we had for this year of a little over $612,000. We are not including any new projected grants for K-12 strong workforce because they vary every year, but we will most likely get something, but we'll have to update that when we get that. But we're not including it at this point. And of course, OCDE gives us an estimated amount for our STRS on behalf, and that'll change by April of next year as well, but we give what their estimate is of a little over $370,000. The other estimated revenues is we're projecting, because interest rates are up, that we're going to probably get about $100,000 in interest. Of course, we'll see how that pans out. We got more than that this year, but we also had a little bit more in the in our bank account, if you will, at OCDE. So normally we used to only say it was like $36,000. So I'm like, I need to bump it up a little bit because we're getting a little bit more, which is a good thing. And then we're projecting our adult program to be $505,000. And then we've got the K-16 grants that we got this year that are continuing over in the next 3 years at $43,000 and $80,000. And then there's the pass-through apportionments from the district at $622,000. And then that's including the increase from CUSD of
$127,200. Before you go on to salaries, can we talk about some of these?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to I have some questions about the revenues.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So it says that income is the strong workforce pathway coordinator. So we get money for that? That's a
grant from the Chancellor's Office specifically for that position.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's an annual rollover grant each year that we get to maintain that position. All LEAs have access to that.
Nicole's job?
No, that is Dave Foster.
Okay.
Nicole's 100% CCA employee that's general funded.
Okay, all right. I guess I don't know about that.
Yeah, we've had pathway coordinators now for what, like 5 years? Isn't that going
on? Three.
Is it only three? I thought it was longer than that.
It started right when we launched into COVID.
Gotcha. So that was something that came out specifically to place that position. It's a liaison position between the community colleges and the local LEAs. So LEAs are the base home. So the grant is given to us to basically fund that position, and it's a dual role between the community colleges and local LEAs. There's dozens of them all up and down in the state. Yeah, from that position.
And that's to make sure, more or less, that the training we do feeds into the 13-14 of K-14, what they're doing in the community colleges. So it's like coordinating between the two.
Right, being a bridge, Dave's position does a lot of work with securing business partners with us. He helps us with our industry advisories. We just had an advisory that was put on, and Dave was a part of helping get that all pulled together. So there's a lot of different roles, but yes, it's an external agency / industry link to the local classrooms and the local LEAs is the function.
And is he based here?
He's over at the adult campus. Mm-hmm. He has an office in the same space where Dom's at.
And he also does a lot with the Chamber of Commerce.
Yes. Yep, he attends all of our Chamber of Commerce that we're members of, so he carries our word forward and shares who we are with them and brings things back to us when they have events and things that are going on that might impact or benefit our kids. He brings that back our way as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then STRS on behalf from OCDE. So OCDE pays our STRS?
It's because of how STRS is, we have to do, it's basically just a kind of a wash. I do a journal entry that says how much money that we're getting in and how much money is going out so that we can recognize that CalSTRS is being, the amount that we're paying into CalSTRS is allocated correctly.
Okay.
It's really just for a GASB, I can't remember which number it is, it's a GASB that we have to do every year.
Okay.
And it's just kind of like the money comes in and the money goes out, it's nothing real.
Okay, yeah.
But it's money that we have to show as part of revenue because you put it in as a revenue and then you have an exact matching expense. But it's just an audit GASB thing that we have to do every year. Kind of like when we have to do that GASB adjustment for the interest at the end of the year. It's a similar one that we just have to recognize. But unfortunately, last year that one marked us down a bit. So it's just one of the GASBs.
All right, that's fine. So then adult program funds. I know we get money from, I think, the state for our adult classes.
Okay.
And is that... I think I was talking to him about this one day, that we don't quite break even on that, but it's close, something like that.
Yeah, we offer high school programs that are connected to our adult programs too, so we have some additional funding, but yeah, the total amount for our adult program doesn't quite cover all of those expenses, but we offset that because we offer high school classes in there too, so we can use some other funding sources to support that.
I guess I don't understand what you mean about how that's connected to high school classes.
So to outfit the lab, if we just had an adult program on its own, it would not be proper for me to spend, say, CTIG money to support that adult program.
Support in what ways?
Equipment, materials, some consumables for kids, things like that.
Okay.
But because we teach high school program in that same space, I can augment what's going on in support for the high school program.
Okay.
So we have dual use equipment and things like that.
But then supplies, you know, you're either the adults using the supplies or the high school students using the supplies.
Correct.
But you're able to fund their supplies out of the high school budget because we're also doing it, or
not so much the supplies, more on the equipment kind of thing. The durable things are going to stick around. Supplies and things like that for the adults comes from the adults, and supplies and consumable stuff comes.
Like teacher credentialing, or as somebody said, the classrooms and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So okay, all right. I just wanted to know on that. And then that's probably all I care about. Thank you.
So to Gila's point, our high school, are they pathwaying into these adult programs as well? So if I'm in that class, I'm a senior, and then I just want to go continue my education once I graduate.
Mm-hmm. That's our hope, and we're bringing back, that's used to be the case specifically, surgical assisting jumps into my head because we haven't had that high school course. We had it and it went away, now it's coming back. And that is absolutely the hope, and it's shown that does happen for a lot of kids, that they matriculate into the adult course. They've already been there, they're comfortable with it, they understand it, they like it, they want to continue on, and they wind up being adult students for us. Not huge percentages, but
some. So that'll be data point that'd be really interesting. Mm-hmm. Just make sure what we're offering, what we're doing, anytime we can have coherence.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be great. So down the road for that.
Yeah, we can absolutely collect that.
Oh. I need it back, but that's what we do.
Yeah.
So what's my understanding, Kathy, she might, maybe everybody could get these if we have more.
We do.
Okay. My understanding is most of the adult classes are one or two semesters, right? Mm-hmm. No more than that. So what would happen is you might have taken the first semester as a senior because you just figured it out, and you don't have time, or you just didn't know, so you'll come and you take your second semester as an adult student, right? Do we have that happen?
Something like that.
Yes.
So a lot of times, because our adult classes go longer hours in a day, they can do the program faster. So what'll happen is, in particular, say for pharmacy, sometimes they jump in pharmacy as a senior and they get in the first portion of it, and you're right, they don't have enough time to finish it. And so then we give them priority to transition in as an adult, and then they can come and finish their program. And all of them are like that. And every one of our adult programs, except for surgical, and we're bringing that back, they all offer a nighttime class too. So our medical assisting, who teaches adults during the day, does a night class. Pharmacy does a day adult class, does a night class. We utilize all of them like that. So does that answer it?
Good info.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think this is really good. And I called and talked to Kathy about this because of a young man that I know who graduated from Dan Hills High School, and now he's been working in a restaurant for several years and finished at Saddleback and doesn't know what he's going to do, you know. So I am directing him.
And we're free.
Yes,
not all of them are free.
Yes,
like,
yes.
So many are not free.
And Dom, I need to talk about this afterwards. So anyway, but yeah. So now I know all about it.
Awesome result program that we have. And where we get the revenue for it.
Please go on with salaries, et cetera.
Okay, well, I was going to say, our total projected revenue is about $6.7 million. So, moving on to the expenditures. The projected expenditures for 23-24 include salaries of about $2.5 million for certificated and a little over a million for classified staff. This is including any applicable steps that anybody would be able to be eligible to receive, plus a 5% general salary increase, as well as the addition of the three career guidance specialists that's covered by the K-12 SWP grant. That leads to, and all of the those expenses lead to the benefits cost of about $1.6 million that's based on the salaries, and that CalPERS's employer contribution raised from 25 point something percent to 26.83%, so there's a little increase there for our classified staff. Textbook and supplies and non-capitalized equipment, we're projecting at $438,000. Which is going to utilize COVID, CTIG, and K-12 strong workforce carryover. Services and other outlying expenses are projected to be around $676,000, and capital outlay of equipment at $50,000. Other outgo, which is the pass-through that we give, that CCA gives to the districts, is set to be $799,035. So that brings us to a total of proposed expenditures to be about $7.1 million. So as usual, and I like to try and explain it, the SACS report does show that CCA is deficit spending, but that's because most of our revenue is considered restricted. Restricted multi-year spending grants, leaving ending fund balances, like the COVID supplemental funding and some of the CTIG that we're carrying over and things like that. So because of the restrictive funding, it doesn't show that we can utilize it as our, the reserves money that we're trying to do since it's restricted. But if you can see that in the little section where it talks about the beginning fund balances and showing everything, it shows that we do project to be at $2.9 million this year as an ending fund balance. So there is a positive amount, and then that carries forward. And then because of that balance, it technically shows a deficit spending, but of course we also don't show that we're bringing in the K-12 strong workforce money that'll also supplement it. So it looks like it on paper, but it is only because, like I said, we can't put the restricted funds as money that is unrestricted. And then that's part of why GPAs are removed from the 3% reserve requirement, because of the fact that we do have the funds, it's just restricted and not unrestricted. So as you've heard and reviewed today, CCA is in a great financial position, and we're projecting to have a positive certification for 23-24 and all the subsequent years right now. We have 24, 25, 25, 26. So at this time, it's our recommendation that you, as the Governing Board of College and Career Advantage, approve the proposed budget for fiscal year 23-24 as presented. However, if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
So I have some additional questions about the reserve. And, you know, I understand there's a profit and loss, and then there's a balance sheet, and so the balance sheet is here. And I understand about restrictive funding. So we got in some difficulty before Paul joined us, where we didn't have, I think, sufficient unrestricted funds to pay some bills, and we ended up borrowing from CUSD. But then I believe I'm telling this story correctly. Then we decided we really needed to have an unrestricted reserve so that didn't happen again. So how much of this reserve is unrestricted?
Right now, because the reporting won't let me move anything over until we final everything out and I can move stuff around.
And when do we final everything out?
As of September, you'll get the unaudited actuals, but okay. Books close in July, and then I make sure that everything goes to the correct places, and then we final out with the unaudited actuals.
So you can do it at the end of July?
Yeah, that's when okay. But what will end up happening, at least as far as I can tell. Right now, the budget still has it where we take our revenue and we take our expenses and then we do that. But there's going to be the GASB that we have to do for the interest that was taken out last year that I get to put back in So that was 127,000, so that'll bump us back up to where we were before that, so that's gonna change that part. But we won't know the exact numbers. That's part of the problem. It's all estimated actuals at this point. But the plan is, and that's what our goal is to increase our unrestricted revenue by whatever is left over in all of the funds, because I can't show, like every other one of them, the restricted ones, I can show what our carryover is gonna be.
Right.
With our estimated actuals. I can't show that with our unrestricted actuals at this point, because then we'd have to reduce the actual money, and then I can't bring it over. It's a different way of doing it, unfortunately.
Yeah,
so it doesn't show, but the plan is to increase it, and that's what I had said in our last report, a second interim, where I could show it a little bit better. This one, because of how it is for the proposed for the next one,
right,
I can't
right,
really
but
show.
Hold
yeah.
on, you're giving me an accounting answer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
A little too deep. So at the end of the day, our fund reserve balance to be able to offset, to Gila's point, so that we're not in a position to have to borrow money to be able
right.
to cover bills,
our
fund balance will be
at the 2.9 million.
Correct.
Okay, but it isn't there now. Is that your money?
It is. We right now currently in.
So if someone came to us and said, "You need to pay me 2.9 million today,"
right.
we could do that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Yes, it's in. Right. It's that COVID reserve, but that right now is showing that we have that at the end of this year in that money we will have over 2.5 million in it. And then in addition to that, we'll have other that's completely and utterly unrestricted,
again,
but COVID money.
Yes. Answer.
Yeah.
Right. I know. Sorry. Yeah.
It's
we
okay.
have 2.9 million. I'm sorry. Let me take off my accounting hat. Let me take off my accounting hat for a moment. Yes. In our bank account with OCDE right now, we have $4.3 million sitting there in our bank account.
Okay.
Completely fine, so at any time. But the budget aspect shows
yes,
the other.
Yes,
but yes,
yeah.
we have $4.3 million
right
now.
Sometimes have to look different
right.
from
yeah.
the cash flow that we have that's our right. bank account, that our bank balance
right,
says,
right, right.
we have $4.3 million in it. Right
okay,
now.
All right, and that is, again, if
anytime
said,
we need to use it, we can use it.
Okay, all right,
yeah.
that's
yeah.
what I wanted to know.
So we.
Sorry, let me take off the accounting hat.
No,
okay,
no,
let
I
me
like
go back into the
personal.
I can't explain it that way, but my brain forgets when I'm looking at these numbers because, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yes.
It's like when someone asks, what comes after N?
Yeah.
L-M-N-O-P.
Yes, sorry.
Yeah.
But it is kind of like my dad always used to say, I have checks in my checkbook, so I have money. But no, yes, our checkbook
yeah.
balance sheet has a lot more
and
than this
are,
even showing.
So we are now trying to maintain an available, I'll just call it available,
mm-hmm.
reserve of some percentage.
Yeah.
Of 2%?
Two million. We're starting off with two million. So we
okay.
set a multi-year budget to include the COVID money that came in after we get beyond that two-year process to run forward starting with a $2 million reserve balance.
Yeah.
And then we will add to that as we can based on revenues and expenditures
right.
going forward.
I just
forward.
Don't want us to get caught again and
no.
have to borrow from one of the districts.
Exactly.
Because that's embarrassing.
Yes.
That's our goal.
Yeah. Okay.
But
yes. Any further questions?
Okay. Prior to approval, we
yes.
need to declare a public hearing.
Yes.
Oh.
So let's... we have to have it open in case anybody from the public has come, so we have to have it on record. So let's declare it open at 9:57.
Can I have a motion?
Then we'll declare it closed. So at this point, we have no one to make public comment about our budget, so let's declare it closed at 9:57, 58. Then we can go ahead and approve it.
Thank you.
I make a motion for approval.
Thank you. And a second?
I'll second.
And we have a vote of 4-5-0.
Yes. Yes. Okay, moving on to 14. First reading of board policy 4262 and 4362 vacations. And this is a first reading. And would we like to consider waiving the first reading?
I don't think we
or do we have
two
questions?
Readings
in
the
CCA.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Oh, well, they have a first reading.
There's a board policy that says that you can decline a second reading.
I move approval and waiving the second reading.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. And a vote?
Aye.
Aye.
5-0. Thank you. All right. Moving on to 15, salary schedule adjustment. It's a new item. To consider approval of a 5% general salary adjustment to certificated and classified salary scheduling beginning July 1.
Motion to approve. motion. I'll move approval of this.
I'll second it.
We have a motion and a second. And the vote?
I have a question.
Yeah, you have a question? Here.
Thank you.
So, CUSD did a 10% increase, but they also get steps. So it's 10% plus whatever ever step you might be getting in this year. So CUSD teachers actually mostly got considerably more than 10%. So you're going to 8.5 here because you're saying they're going to get the 3.5 step. So why did we do only 5% for these teachers instead of 10?
Was your 10 for single year, or was your 10 spread out over 2 years?
What's that? 1 year.
1 year.
Just single year, yeah. Just to get to the getting, we didn't have enough available funds to be able to do that long term. We did a multi-year projection based off a couple of different salary ideas, or not ideas, but amounts.
Okay.
And this was an amount that we could, as an organization, bear that burden all over the long haul.
And there is no COLA in any of the funds that we get. Most of our funds are just grant funds.
Yeah, most all of our funding is grant funding, CTIG, K-12, all of those things. COLA is not applied to that by the state.
Okay.
So in fact, our grant funding goes down a little bit each year as more and more LEAs apply for grants. The money's got to go farther. So they take from everybody else that's got it. So this year in CTIG, we got $80,000 less than we got last year. We had a great application. There were no issues whatsoever. There were just an additional 35 LEAs that applied for grant funding this year. So everybody's amounts came down.
Yep. Okay, I appreciate the explanation. So I'm ready to vote.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any further questions? Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion passed. All right, let's move on to 16, organizational goals.
Okay, thank you very much. So as a continuation of the executive director's report, we have for you today our organizational goal document. Highlighted in red are some of the activities, some data points and things that we've collected for you, so that we're going to go through this. Forgive us if it does get a little bit long, but we want to give you a good picture of everything that's been happening as in terms of positive movement towards our organizational goals. We're going to share this as a group because, as you know, it takes this entire team to make this organization go forward. And I love giving them the opportunity to share their individual pieces where they have a lot of investment. So we're going to start off with our Section 1 under Student Achievement. Sections A and B fall with Nicole. So we're going to let her cover those for you.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, so the first one, student achievement through the work of our career guidance specialist increased pathway completers at all high schools. So last year we had 82 pathway completers, and then this year we had 536. So we increased our pathway completers fivefold, 538%. Kept doing the math and I was like, is that right? Right. So below is the breakdown of pathway completers at each site. And we accomplished this with our work through collaborating with CUSD guidance teams, along with Karen Scott, who manages our data, myself and Kim, and the career guidance specialist. So we sat and we audited and streamlined all of our course codes. So we went through and we obsoleted any course codes that were duplicates. We removed any course codes that were no longer being used, and we just kind of streamlined and cleaned everything up, so it was really easy for our counselors to understand when they went into the system what course code they should be selecting. And then what we did was we also audited our pathways across the district. So we looked at how each school site was using specific course codes and how we could streamline it. So for example, we noticed that the majority of our high school sites were using video production for freshman students. Well, that course is coded as a capstone. So in order to be a pathway completer, you have to take a concentrator and a capstone in the same pathway in sequence. So if a student takes a capstone course before a concentrator, they're already removed from being a pathway completer unless they start all over again in either that pathway or new pathway. So looking at that, we said, okay, well, let's go back to our APs and have a discussion. Can we change that coding to a concentrator so we're not pigeonholing all of those freshmen And so now starting next year, all of those freshmen will be pathway completers that were initially not counted for this year. So that
I'll have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is just within our K through 12 structure. When you say a pathway completer, it has nothing to do with community college.
So the pathway completer that we follow is from the CDE and it applies to K-12.
Okay.
But when they go to community college, they too have pathways,
right,
but they're different. So they're not identically aligned to K-12. So that's some of the work that we do, is having to educate our counselors and our students that when they leave high school, if they want to go into community college, guiding them into the right pathway at the community college level, because those, they don't align. We have
we
no
use
credit for it. They can't say, oh, I already took video production. Yes,
you can. So we have dual enrollment and we also have articulation. So through those two processes, students can take classes that we have articulation agreements or CCAP dual enrollment agreements with K-12, and the students can earn the college credit. So for example, video production, we do articulate that course at Saddleback. So if a student takes the class any year during high school, they can get that articulated credit on the Saddleback transcript. When they go to Saddleback, they no longer have to satisfy that class. And what they do is they strategically articulate with intro level college courses so that the student is encouraged to continue on that pathway.
And then they already, and probably have similar questions. Well, we recognized our pathway completers at our special meeting of recognition. We had 42.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And so we want to add that. But it's not on here.
Oh, no.
And then also, as far as was Laguna included in partnering with the middle school?
So Laguna, so our CGSs, we have the CGS that's assigned to LISO that collaborates with Laguna Beach, but I don't know if like Lynn Gregory went out to the middle school site to share pathway information. I'm not certain about that.
Well, Laguna not having a CTE program is, we don't have the opportunity, the same opportunities we do at the CUSD middle schools, because we have actual CTE coded courses on this side of the partnership. So that's a little bit of a difference there for the middle school.
Right, our students don't have those same opportunities.
Yeah, currently at your middle schools, that would be correct. But going back to the pathway question, pathways, it's the term's used in a lot of different ways by a lot of different people. Yeah, so for purposes of our work, pathway is the completion of a concentrator and then a capstone course within the K-12 courses within the high school structure. Yeah, those are the numbers that we're representing here.
And I was confused by something when Nicole said, and not because she's being too accounting.
My pathway
hat. So I think you might have said if they take video production as a freshman, mm-hmm, it used to be we didn't let that be their pathway completer. Now we are allowing it, even though they took it as freshman.
No, sorry, let me clarify.
Okay,
so the way that our pathways work is that they're either coded based off CalPAD's coding that we report to the state. So they're either coded as a concentrator or a capstone.
Okay.
So currently the video production class is a capstone.
Okay.
In order to be a pathway completer in the CalPAD system, so the data that we report to the state, mm-hmm, the student has to take a capstone the year that we report it to the state, but there has to be a concentrator that they took first, because they have to take the two classes
at least one concentrator first.
Correct, in the same pathway. So,
okay,
for example, video production and digital photo, they're both pathways in arts, media, and entertainment. I think it's like pathway 111 or 112.
Mm-hmm.
If a student takes video production as a concentrator this upcoming school year and then takes digital photo, which is coded as a capstone of 3, now they're a pathway completer, because they took two classes in the same pathway in sequence.
So the issue was they were mis-
capstone. You have to take capstone.
No, that I do understand, but I was confused.
The schools were misassigning a code to the class. They should have been assigning the concentrator code versus the capstone code. So through the work of the CGSs and Nicole and Kim, they identified several of those spots where schools were using inappropriate codes.
Okay.
Flip those to the correct codes,
okay,
and now the kids are on the sequence that will allow them to become a completer.
Right. Okay.
Because from the school site, they don't understand the 2 and the 3s, and so they're going to put a student where they need to put a student, right? And so
right,
for video production, they just put the kids in video production because that's where they need to put freshmen. not realizing that, oh, we're putting them in this class that's coded as a capstone.
It's like taking Spanish 3 before Spanish 1.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And this, thank you for this work. And then hopefully this will start to eliminate just slotting in children in your CTE classes, CCA classes with no meaning whatsoever to fill in a schedule.
So this year was the first year that students who completed a CTE pathway in sequence, in the same pathway, received regalia. Okay. So now
it's
kids
on.
Are coming
now
out of the woodwork and they're saying, did I take
deal,
my classes in sequence?
Yeah.
Am I in the right pathway? So there's a lot of probing questions that are coming out, like how do you complete a pathway? And so I'll share a little bit in the rest of my update, but CGSs are hosting workshops and webinars, and one of the workshops that they hosted this year was being a CTE pathway completer. What does it mean? How do you ensure you're taking classes in the right sequence? That sort of thing. And then
right, because it helps them get into college.
And then what does that mean if they want to continue, right?
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
We've got to start thinking really K-14 and beyond.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
So this shows that there were, at least, so there were 172 pathway completers, various numbers that other than Sesora at the bottom. So there was like 3.5 times as many students at Aliso as at Sesora.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, Aliso and Sesora are very similar schools. They're both, you know, we are the greatest, we have the highest graduation rate. But but here they are the exact opposite. So
is
what
population?
No.
So
the population is not terribly similar, but it's not that far off.
Yeah, it's not that far off, but Aliso has courses that kind of feed into a complete pathway, so we have a complete auto pathway. And Tesoro doesn't. So for example, just one off the top of my head, we have, well, I guess actually we worked this year to create a complete pathway for them, but environmental field studies was one that was a one-off. So if a student takes that class, then there's no other class for them to take to complete the pathway.
Oh, okay.
We also came across an instance where we as an organization realized that a teacher was teaching two classes that had the same coding, so they were both concentrators. So for example, it was our medical core and our sports medicine, and so the teacher was like, take my medical core and then take sports med, you'll be a pathway completer. No, because they were both concentrators. So we went back and said, okay, how do we fix this? So now we have sports medicine advanced. So those students are now taking a complete pathway. So next year, I will, you know, I'm positive that we'll see an increase in the number of completers at Tesoro because we went and we were calculated about cleaning up pathways on specific campuses.
Historically, not having a large staff to be able to work very, very closely with the school guidance departments to ensure all these little nuances were happening appropriately left kind of the guidance AP and the counselors to their own devices to schedule kids where they needed to be scheduled. So now that we have CGSs at every site, this is a large part of what they're going to be doing. Now we're kind of crossing over some other, but that's all good. We can look at this much, much more closely now. So that was a big thrust this year with the three CGSs we had with Nicole and Kim to really get into that. Another reason for the Aliso piece, they have a larger CTE footprint than Tesoro does. They just have more courses to offer there for a lot of different reasons. They have a huge bio program over there.
Yeah. Big culinary.
And then they have auto, which Tesoro doesn't have. They have culinary, which Tesoro doesn't have. So there's just some differences in what's been offered at the schools historically.
Okay. And I was going to use the word historically, too. And going way back, they were really feet dragging at the school and the community. From what I remember, of not really receptive.
Yes, mm-hmm. Tesoro is not receptive.
They just their community, their income, whatever it is,
yes.
Their view. They just did not see the value there. So,
but now we have courts.
Yep.
So now
valuable.
We're
changing in the same boat.
Yep.
Historically, is Capitol Valley in the same boat?
Capitol Valley. I don't know.
Capitol Valley they only have five more.
But it's also
another has auto.
Under enrollment.
Yeah. Another thing that happens as a part of this is a student that gets off target, off track with their academics.
Mm-hmm.
Say I fail a math class. All of a sudden now my electives come into question whether or not I even have one in my schedule.
Right.
So when you have schools that have more struggling students, a lot of times because of the way our structure is built, access to elective classes, CTE programming, is more difficult for them because they have to get their cores and their generals. out of the way, because now the counselors shift into graduation mode. Right. Now it's about, we need to get you across the threshold.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, then things like this take a second base.
And to that point, San Clemente only has 59, and we have auto and culinary. Why is it so? I'm sorry.
And the Cisco Learning Lab, yes, I was dealing with all the things.
A lot of the same issues. I talked to Sean Self.
Sorry.
Am I done? I'm over.
Your time's up.
That's it. Time out.
No, we have to check in for Southwest, or we're going to be in the cargo. Check in at 10:15.
Vacation plans.
Sorry
for
you to check in.
So I talked to Sean Self quite a bit, actually, about this a couple of times this year, and so many of his kids are struggling just to graduate.
Just to graduate,
yeah, so it just wreaks havoc with the student schedule once they come off track. Yeah. It's so tough.
So it's so tough. That's a philosophy that perhaps, what we're switching gears at COSD, the graduation rate versus reality rate, right? Your A through G, where all these different things. So this is big work down there that hopefully then you will benefit as we able to dive into that type of work.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah, and I just want to add too that another big piece is the knowledge piece of teaching counselors. And so I think we're just now getting in the groove of having all of our new counselors on our school sites. Last year we had a lot of new counselors that they were first year counselors that didn't even know what CTE was. And so again, this year we'll be offering our counselor induction program where we'll go over all things CTE so that they really have understand the concept of it and grasp how to put students appropriately. But the last thing I'll say about Pathway Completers is that our CGSs also did targeted course placements this year. So if a student was in a concentrator class, they ran ARES queries and then contacted those students and said, hey, you're already in this class, so just a reminder that this is the next class in the pathway, or this is the After Bell class that would satisfy this pathway, so when you meet with your counselor, this is a class that you can take to be a Pathway Completer.
So in Laguna Beach had 42... Pathway Completers?
Yes.
Which is pretty good based on their school size.
Well, that's huge. Yeah. That's huge because how many high schoolers
do you have actually really
in your whole district?
900?
Under 1,000.
Yeah, it's like 900.
Under 1,000? Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Under 1,000.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, it is good.
Okay. Thank you, Nicole, for that. So moving forward, we'll go to item C there, which is our continuing the WASC, our self-study preparation for our accreditation visit. So I'm going to kick that down to Colch, or excuse me, to Kim.
Do you want me to touch on B?
We talked about middle school a little bit, but if you have something to add, you want to that one real quick before we go on?
Yeah, just CGS is partnering with guidance teams and doing ninth grade orientation.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
I'm checked in. I just want everybody to know where to go.
Phew.
So I wanted to just update you guys on WASC. We went ahead and took all their recommendations, and whatever they recommended, which actually they recommended for us to do less work, which was fabulous. So we went ahead and combined some of our goals in our strategic action plan. And then it was due on May 31st, and so we uploaded all the revisions May 31st, and so it's done. That is done. It's uploaded. We're just now waiting for them to give us the official seal and the official letter that says we are approved by WASC, and we can go from there. So we did that, and then I just wanted to share that they did, I don't know if everybody was there, but they mentioned that it was one of the best WASC visits that they'd ever been on, which I don't have enough experience being on WASC visits to know the difference between a really a good one and a bad one. So I was like, oh, okay, they probably say that to everybody. But then Nicole and I went a week later, literally like 10 days later, and we went on a visit to one in Torrance. And it has been renowned for years as a center rather than a program. So a center just means that the kids come there instead of them coming to the other smaller sites. And I will say that their equipment and everything was great, but we did come to find out what a bad WASC visit was. And so
tell us.
Yes. Well, it's just bad by things just didn't match up in the report. And so, your job as, because we went as the visiting team, and our job is to go ahead and see if what you wrote matches what we see, right? And so going, they had all this stuff written, and we went and we're like, they had all this great stuff going on that they didn't even write about. And we're like, why didn't you write about this? Where is this? And then come to find out after more and more of us discrepancies, they just took the last report and just changed the date and submitted it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and so it was like, wow. Because they were so understaffed and overwhelmed, and their executive director was doing CBO and executive director, and they'd lost a lot of staff. So they had a lot of good reasons, but it was really telling for us, and we were like, wow, now we understand. So that was kind of, it made us feel really good about our report at that point, because I said I didn't know the really difference of what was bad and what was good.
I can
so.
Jump
well,
into
our... And yeah. You guys drive, you know yourself, the high school is interesting, it's the team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The work is always, should be always good,
yeah.
But it's how you guys are able to present that information. It happens at high schools, like every principal will go, that teacher and this person are why we got our WASC accreditation.
Yeah, preach,
who's
preach,
willing
yeah.
To preach, do that?
And it was. So thank you for your work on that.
Yeah,
thank you.
I think they were also impressed that we had three board members
yes.
there, and we had Clark, the acting superintendent, and also
Jason mm-hmm.
were there and made little right. speeches. I think they were pretty impressed by the support from the district.
They were, and so were we.
Yeah.
Like, just
yeah.
to the fact that, you know, we were doing all the vaccine stuff and getting everything ready, but the day of, and to see that much support from board members and,
yes.
yeah, from big names
we had,
showed
we had,
up.
And we
had
over
all the students.
And the students. Everybody from everywhere yeah. showed up, and they commented.
And the students who provided
yeah.
the food.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, wonderful. Yeah. If their socks weren't knocked off, they were strange.
And then they also said that just our relationships going around from the sites. They said that they could see the relationship that we had with our teachers
That's
and
right.
our faculty. And, you know, we have a very strong relationship with our guidance department. We spend a lot of time with them. If I pick up the phone and ask, hey, are my teachers struggling? Can you maybe change their periods? You got it. Just because we built that relationship with them. So they saw those relationships. Every time we went to a site, the guidance, the principal and the assistant principal of guidance were out there. They were there showing support. So everywhere they looked, they saw that we just got really
good
support.
And I think having only two districts is probably helpful.
I think
you
so.
You only have two ways of doing things instead of like five or six that can be like, well, this one, you know, just you can't get everybody on the same bandwagon.
Yeah.
And here, so that one's not quite on the same bandwagon, whatever, you know, but it's not this like, there's so many different ways.
Yeah.
What was meaningful for me too is our chair. Is she was what, 6 days from retirement?
Oh, yeah.
When
yeah.
she left
yeah.
us, so she was right there. But she's going to work for WASC. So they value her opinions. So our review coming from her as a chair is, in my opinion, more meaningful than somebody that's a first-time chair, or you know, somebody that's just does it from time to time for WASC. She's going to be a full-time WASC employee. So yeah, so that was also very, very gratifying to know that that was coming from her specifically. So.
I have some comments on these. Are you going to go through these?
Oh, I can.
I just you don't have to. I mean, whatever you want to do. I just have some comments on them. So on the bottom one, Creek Community Awareness of CCA's adult education programs, I have a suggestion.
Okay.
And one of them can be implemented next month, and that is make a little brochure or handout or whatever. And when we have our late graduation in this district, July 17th, I think it is, hand this to them, because those late grads are the ones who really need it. You could probably, with the right targeted information, and I'll help you do it if you want, get like half of them in the program. Because those are kids who are like, yeah, you know, they're barely graduating.
Where are they coming from? Are they coming from Union?
They're like kids who didn't quite make it. They've got one or two classes.
Recovery, all that stuff.
And so they have to take this over the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're graduating kind of by the skin of their teeth. And to think that they'd be going on to four-year colleges, that they've really got something going on, most of them don't.
This would have been a really great group to take on that. Remember, we set out this year to do the middle of the road kids and try to get them all over to the adult program so that we could do exactly this.
Yeah.
It would have been nice to know these kids that are going to be going off to late grad and taking them over and letting them see the program.
More than likely they were in that, because that's that same group that we have some counselors for.
They might not, but that's a good thing
but
for
still,
next year.
But you know,
I bet there's some crossover
in
there.
End of April, May.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great idea.
But the lady who's in charge, Patrice Dempsey, talk to her and maybe even have like a table in the back of the room mm-hmm. with some stuff on it, but hand that to every single one of them. Mm-hmm. And then next year for the high school graduations, have something that goes in with their diploma, because I think they get mailed the diploma. I can't remember.
No, they get it in the back.
Okay. They get it in on that day. Yeah.
Again, about the adult program. Mm-hmm. Because while we've got plenty of kids that are going off to Saddleback who know what they're doing, whatever, but there's also a good number who don't know. And catch them, you know, because like this young man that I was, you know, talking about that I got this brochure for, he's now been to Saddleback, he just doesn't know what he's going to do. There's a lot of kids who graduate and don't really have a plan, or they think they do and it falls apart, whatever. That would be a great thing. Something like this, but completely targeted to
late grads.
For the late grads.
Late grads is one.
But
the other one.
But for the regular grads, some just a little thing that they get that would say, yeah. Hey.
Amy, go.
So yeah, I mean, I love your thinking out of the box. Really, really good. The only problem with the regular grads. Is, you know, I don't want to waste money. I don't want to spend a lot of money mm-hmm. when it's not going to be meaningful. So if there's maybe a better way to catch them.
Well, some other way.
You know,
yeah.
some mm-hmm. other way. And then we have a charter school called Opportunities for mm-hmm. Learning. I feel like that's a better recovery area.
They come on a tour.
They do stuff. Okay, good. Yeah. So then they're another
got them.
One
yeah,
that
yeah,
you
yeah.
get. Yeah. I went to their graduation and it's, yeah, so it's,
So that was our goal, and remember we talked about it. I've talked about it with a couple of you guys, and several times I think at the board meeting about catching that middle group that mm-hmm. doesn't have a plan. Mm-hmm. And so we did it this year. We should have data on what shook out probably
yes.
after fall.
Yes.
So now we've done it all year long. It was a first run. We're gonna debrief. We're gonna see how we can improve, and then we should see some numbers in the fall, maybe a couple weeks after school starts, because then we can literally go in and say, okay, where'd you hear? And
right.
there some of them are reporting it, but we can then we'll have them all in. We'll
yep.
be able to see what we're doing and adjust.
Yeah. So yeah, that actual outcome based.
Yeah.
Right? So mm-hmm. the more we can get, and I know it's hard to get folks that move on. You know, what are we doing here
yep.
that is actually supporting them and connecting them, and we're seeing the. Of fruits of all your labor here. So,
I'm interested to see. We're going to collect it.
And with the inclusion
of
all of our...
really quick, and then we'll grab you. Just to Amy's point, it would be, I agree that it shouldn't go to everyone at graduation. Mm-hmm. It's too expensive. But we could meet with the counselors, and they could paperclip it mm-hmm. to the families that it might be a benefit.
Yeah, yeah. So all the guidance teams have it. We did send it out. We do send it out every year with our after bells schedule that goes into registration packets, so we can give them that direction that when seniors.
But I think that direction to both of their points, that would be a good way to
yeah.
target those
yeah.
specific
yeah.
kids. It would be an easy way.
Mm-hmm.
But my wonder mm-hmm. is, does Laguna Beach have it? Do you guys have a late graduation?
No, we don't.
Okay.
Kim, were our students that didn't know what they were going to do included?
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
and
all students were. Yeah, all students were. Yeah.
What do we have, Jim? Like 10 of them?
And you know,
and
I will say, Kelly,
know what they were doing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Remember, Laguna has tons of money and no children.
Yeah, but
woo!
And honestly,
do 70, but we have one. Thurston was.
You guys don't need it as much because you've got Kelly and you've got Lynn, and let me tell you, those kids aren't getting by those two.
Yeah,
and so a field trip for 10 kids to come over. But Kelly's got them, and so does Lynn, and they're on that. So you've actually got a real target, and you've got what we would like to see, you know, because they literally come in and meet with Kelly or meet with Lynn or both, and they're already telling them. They're giving it right to them. Yes.
And Lynn and Kelly have both attended our
yes.
Tours, so they come and they gather all the information. But, of
yeah.
course, they're always welcome.
Our counselors will always be the key to reaching these kids. So doing our road shows, engaging our counselors, looking at our programs, now that we have a CGS on all of our sites, creating and fostering those relationships so that when, you know, Kim's meeting with one of her students as a counselor and she knows that Paul's not going to probably graduate, walking Paul around the corner over to the guidance center and plopping him down with Lynn and saying, hey, you guys need to have a conversation about this, what's going on.
Totally.
And that one-on-one personal, I think, is where we probably make as much ground as we would ever on kind of a mass blowout.
Okay.
So. That's our hope going forward.
And also, Okay, the Family Resource Center, do you have information in the COC's Family Resource Center? Okay, good.
Yes.
Then the other thing I wanted to mention is on the, let's see, third point of communicating to stakeholders. I'd like to suggest that you periodically, and actually Paul doing it would be great, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter, someone, go to a city council meeting, or all the cities, Laguna Beach and all the COSD cities, and get up there in your 3 minutes of whatever they call it and make a little speech about what we do in this ROP. Because I see, I mean, on Facebook, sorry, I'm on Facebook. There's all this, why don't schools teach this anymore? And I want to grab people by the throat and strangle them. And in many cases, these are people
who you're not recording that part, is
you? Very, very, very plugged in to what's going on in their cities.
Yep.
And some cases, they're people that go to every city council meeting. And they don't know. So I think a like semi-annual visit to every local city council and make this 3 minute speech about what's going on would be good for public education, yes. for our two districts, for this program. And make sure you have a stack of business cards with you because people are gonna jump on you on your way out the door. And it's not just city council members, it's those people who go to all the meetings and listen to the meetings.
No, okay. That's a great idea. Yep.
I have to go to secret, I'll just say, you know, we do woodshop. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We do cooking. That's all I gotta say.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Cursing.
Well, they don't know. I mean, just yesterday, I hit a couple of the vet places. We're looking to do something with our vet check program. So I walked in and talked to them and said, you know, my name is Paul Weir. With the school district. I said, I run the ROP that's over here. And they're like, what's ROP? So it's like we're starting at the bottom, working our way up, you know. And it's so, yeah, so. Very, very, very common.
They don't know any of it yet.
Yeah.
And every year we sit through the registration. Every year we do walk-through registration. We all take a school. We're all there. And you know how many times I sit there and the parents go, oh, my God, we have these programs. And I'm like, 50 yeah. years. We've been here for 50 years. Yeah. And they're just like, oh, how come my kid never knew this? My first kid never knew.
So the reality is where you really need, we're always a little late to the party. Whenever we're targeting graduates, we're a little toast. It's elementary. Right? Mm-hmm. So this conversation for our little ones, your fifth grader that's leaving, mm-hmm. what does this mean? Because the data shows in CUSD, our kids enter and they exit in our schools. So what happens in between all those times? So it's really that elementary component. You know, we're playing catch up. We're trying to grab that high schooler or their parent because the parents are no longer engaged. So that, you know, trying to maybe look at those family nights and there's PTAs for the elementaries, you know, I would go there.
I agree, Amy. Yeah. When Gregory and I did, I talked about CCA for the PTA at our elementary school and the fifth grade parents were so excited.
Yes.
And I had no idea.
Right.
And I got so many questions after that about how to do it.
I think it's elementary folks.
Yeah, and also they hit the adult too because we went and did a bus at one point where we loaded the bus and we took parents to their elementary school, mm-hmm. their middle school, and their high school. I forget, that was Kenosha. We did it at Kenosha. And I had just as many parents wanting to do the adult program.
Right, mm-hmm.
So it's like you're getting a twofer there.
Totally.
And I was really shocked. I was like, oh my God, I think we got more parents talking about doing our pharmacy program than we did in.
Yeah,
it's great. Very good, thank you.
Yeah, and the elementary PTA is where the parents come. They don't come to middle school PTA. Yeah.
Right.
They don't come to high school PTA.
Must be different because they really come to middle school.
Do they come to middle school?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I was never in middle school.
Yeah. Which is good because now we have a footprint starting at the elementary. So we have an opportunity now to expand on that.
Retrain our population.
No, it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And all of our principals would welcome us to come too. No problem.
Middle school seems to stay
come to Palisades.
Okay. That's when they figure they're going to make that.
Trying to get my wife to go over.
They're going to, you know, middle school.
They're adrift.
Yeah. It's right around the corner from my house. Okay. So what, we're at 10:30. Okay, yeah, I don't want to burn our timeline too bad. So let's move on to D. We can do a recap on D real quick.
CUC, the Capistrano Unified PTSA meeting that all PTSA presidents could counsel.
I think you do that presentation, don't you?
We've done it in the past.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, that's excellent, especially back to school when they're all coming. Yeah. They'll also taper off too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on to D.
So we'll kick it back over to Nicole.
Okay. So as Paul previously mentioned, we hired 3 additional CGSs, so they'll be starting this year, July 24th. So we're really excited about that because now we have a full-time CGS at every single high school site. Our previous 3 were toggling back and forth between the 6 at C2C and then also supporting Laguna Beach with our ambassadors and union. The past year that they were there, they hosted a number of workshops and webinars for students. So every month they tried to host a workshop or a webinar either before school, after school, or during tutorial. So you can see the number of student meetings and events that they hosted, 194 events and 5,102 student meetings. And this is an approximate number. They do have a sheet that they track students coming in, but you know they'll speak to any student that they can get their hands on or have an opportunity to speak to. Some of the workshops that they hosted, career exploration workshops and assessments where students had an opportunity to explore interests, skills, values, and personalities to help explore career opportunities. They hosted a College at Capo workshop, which is our dual enrollment initiative with Saddleback College, and provided application support. They actually supported the entire program for College at Capo from marketing to enrollment. And then fall 2023 registration support. So in January, they started doing that targeted research and meeting with students to prepare them for fall registration since the portals open in early January so that students can start to enroll in classes early. And then February, they did a highlight on CTE month. So every year in February is CTE month. They offered resume and interviewing support where students could sign up for one-on-one interview appointments. They spoke about our CCA adult program. So they did capture students to talk about what their opportunities are when they graduate high school and what our CCA adult programs are, along with career exploration and summer school opportunities. So highlighting what opportunities we'll have in the summer. And then, like I said previously, CTE pathway completion. So learning about pathways, how to complete a pathway, and the benefits of being a pathway completer. And then lastly, CTE ambassador program. So last year, well, this upcoming school year will be the highest number of CTE ambassadors that we've had since we rolled out the program in 2019. So we'll have 49 ambassadors, which is 7 from each site.
And they can use that as their leadership for their resumes and things like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes. And they did targeted marketing as well to recruit students to that. So students have to either previously or currently be enrolled in a CTE course, have a certain GPA. So they were able to run a query to target students and then use previous ambassadors to recruit more. So I'm excited about that.
And one of the things that the ambassadors told us, I know you were talking with them also, Lisa,
yes,
is they would really like to go to the middle school and even the elementary school to talk about the programs, and it does help to hear from other students.
Yeah, it'd be yes, great if we can utilize them for that. They would love it.
Yeah.
Everyone we talk to, they would love that.
We've actually started conversations with Stephanie Avera, head of technology for CUSD, and we're going to link our ambassadors next year to the elementary ICANN program.
Oh, right.
So we're going to try to get them down to the elementary on a regularly scheduled basis to not only work with the kids in implementing and understanding, learning the tools, but also to help the teachers.
Well, let's also get them at open houses.
I'm sorry?
Let's get them at back to school in the fall. Let's get them to the back to schools with the elementaries, and they can have maybe have an ICANN station there, and they can, that would be great.
They went to the Aliso's STEAM night that they had. Yeah, the community STEAM night. We had had a few of them there that were working with folks. So yeah, we'd like to get them out, and they love going. They actually have a really good time doing it.
I think the back to school would be a great spot to have the ICANN and have the ambassadors actually run it.
I think it's a great idea.
Great, thank you.
So this data stream too, I just wanted to just bring us back, because the last time we were together, we were interested in capturing some of the data on the impact of our CGSs. So this is the first data stream that we're able to capture from them. with these numbers. And then I put Futurology down here at the bottom too, just so that we're aware that within the spaces that we've created, we were able to house the Futurology staff as well. So they have a whole another target area that they work with for the district. But just as a combined, I thought it was a really interesting set of numbers. A combined workshop opportunity for the kids was 478 workshops and 12,500 individual student meetings that these two individuals within this space were able to work with kids on what their next steps beyond high school could be.
And we're not having duplication with Futurologies. It's really delineated.
It is. There's always a little crossover when we start talking about community college and programs, like where can I find an auto program?
Right.
Either one of them can answer that question.
Right.
We try to stay more on the side of our pathways and our direct articulated courses and things like that. But there are some gray areas like that because Futurology is focused on college applications and helping kids apply. But if they're looking at a CTE program, that's where we wind up having the crossover.
But these numbers are separately tracked.
Yes.
So Futurology uses their own tracking system, and then CGS is using their own. So,
yeah. Yep. Perfect. All right. Awesome.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to E. We had continued to expand CTE offerings in the middle school and elementary school. So we mentioned it just a little bit just now. So we have the ICAM program that's up and running at all but two elementary schools have an active program. I'd have to get the actual names. I just had the numbers the other day when I was talking with Stephanie. And they're slated. She told me they have trainings already. They've already worked with those principals. Her two TOSAs do the training for that. And they have them. Everybody's on the slate for training, so they'll be coming online. So if they did get in
the
first
round. So the two outlier elementary schools are coming online too?
Correct. Yes. Okay. So it will be everyone.
Okay,
next year we'll have had the training.
Okay.
Yes, if everybody shows up. But all right. So that's a great expansion. Every time we show somebody the ICAM kit, we have that description. They're blown away at what the kids have those opportunities to grab a hold of. So it's been well received. I talked to the TOSAs. Gosh, it's been a couple weeks now, but I was circling back around just to get some anecdotal feedback from them, from the teachers that are utilizing the program, always looking for feedback to improve. And they said they haven't gotten anything in terms of actionable, wish I had this, need to fix this, this isn't working. It's all been great. They love it. The opportunities for the kids to explore and the excitement that they're seeing from the kids when they're able to engage with the ICAM lessons has been really super high. Has been the feedback that they've gotten from all of the elementary staff so far. So it's been really, really great to see. We did our presentation at Educating for Careers on this program. Was received super well by everybody that stayed, that attended the session that we had from across all over the state. So we're really leading the way there. Our WASC team was very impressed that we go all the way into the elementary grades with structured, formalized CTE instruction, which is one of the differentiators there. And we wrote it into the Golden Bell application that we're currently writing with Jimmy Knodel to put that out there. So the ICAM is referenced in there as well. So that's been a good success for us this year and a great partnership with Stephanie and her team.
Well, if you get a Golden Bell, you know, we have to take it to eight of our schools. Yeah. They're going to be taking it. It's going to take you all year.
Can we drink out of it like the Stanley Cup?
you can't eat soup out of it, though.
Yeah. Bring it.
Okay, can we move on to F?
Yeah, we'll move on to F. So industry-based certifications. So every year, we're always working with our teachers to seek out those certifications for kids. So we have several opportunities in place that have been there. You know, we have Adobe certifications, we have Microsoft certifications, we have our Cisco, our networking things, we have our autos, all of those. a new one that we're bringing on next year, which will be at San Clemente High School, will be the FNUC industry cert. So it'll take a couple of years for kids to go through that program. Mm-hmm. But that is a world recognized robotics company. So a FNUC factory certification can take a kid a long way if that's a path that they decide to take. So that'll be in our engineering lab with Jacques. He's real excited about bringing that in. He's already got his space. He's just waiting for the delivery so he can get his hands on it and get going. So that'll be a new one. And then we're going to launch for next year a digital badge program for our kids. So we're going to design a digital badge for a concentrator course, then we'll design a badge for a capstone course, and then like a third, which will be a pathway completer. So you ever get an email from someone in industry that, and then below their email signature, they've got two or three little images. They'll be ASC certified and MSC certified. So that's a digital badge. So those represent the acquisition of a certain skill set. So the ones that you see live, like on LinkedIn and things like that, you can click on them a lot of times and it'll take it to the company and it'll show you the criteria that the person had to go through to receive that badge. So we'll be putting together a page that's on our website so employers that might interact with one of our badges from a kid making application can go and see these are the competencies that this kiddo has mastered, and that's why he has this badge, and that's why she can represent this on her resume or college application or their LinkedIn profile or wherever they choose to. So just another way for our kids to differentiate themselves when they're out in the world, whether it's college apps, jobs, or whatever the case may be. So again, we're going to run that through Canvas because Canvas owns Badger. So we own access to that. So it's going to be a no-cost piece for us, and we'll be able to come right out of the gate across the board with that. So again, Julie DeWeese actually with CUSD and the TIS is going to work with us to deliver that. And that'll go for both sides of the partnership. Kids in Laguna will have access to those as well. So that'll be something we're looking forward to doing for next year. Yeah. Okay. Budget management resource, so working with capital advisors. So we have access to capital advisors through one of the organizations that we belong to, KROP. So that is the legislative advocacy group that organization contracts with. So LeAngela comes to all of our meetings. We have virtual meetings and we have our big transition meeting each year. So we continue to be able to give feedback to capital advisors and get information from them on the status of bills that we're tracking, whether we want to highlight those when we go to ledge visits so we know exactly what we need, what buttons we need to be hitting when we talk to our legislators, or if there's an all call for information, if LeAngela is going into a meeting with governor staff and they need data to back up what they're trying to push, they'll put out an all call and we provide our piece of the information, as do our partners. How many people are in KRO? Like,
what do you mean?
How many organizations or members?
It's hard to count because they've got organizational membership. So what they'll do is, like, our whole organization pays a fee, and all of our teachers belong, and all of us. So
right.
I can't
do
even.
You have a sense of how many? I'm asking her because she's the treasurer for KROP.
Well, I'll tell you how much money we have.
The upshot of that, capital advisors, we don't have it. It's not a line item for us where you are paying them for this work. It's a service that comes with your membership.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Is that what you have?
Yeah, that's the same thing. Yeah, it's the same. Yeah. We don't pay capital advisors anything.
Okay, that's because that was my question. Like, what are they costing? Yeah. Because I've gone south on them a little bit.
Yeah.
But hopefully,
cost is $1,000 to be a part of our organization.
Okay. And along with
and
them,
this is a piece of it. Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So you're not seeking them out. It's not separate.
Nope.
That you're paying them. Okay.
Nope. No additional funding.
And same with school services.
Yes. Yeah, okay, so great. School services are JPA coalition that we're a part of with JPAs across the state. School services is the legislative advocacy group that is contracted by that organization. Again,
okay.
no additional fees from us that we pay.
Good, because
that is like... Right. Yeah, so no additional funding that we pay there, but we will continue. And it's great when we have the opportunity to hear from them. We really appreciate when they ask us for our input because our voice gets heard. So that's a great opportunity there. So we'll continue those relationships we have both with KROP and with our JPA coalition. So B, closely monitor cash flow. So we talked extensively about that earlier, so we won't go back into that other than just to recap that we are in great shape with our funding. We do have, well, that's relative, right? We can always use more. But we are solid. We do have a sizable reserve so that we're not going to be in a position to have to not be able to cover any of our bills or borrow any money to be able to do that in the foreseeable future. So we're in good shape there. C, develop and implement an annual review cycle for our inventory. So we've been doing that. If you find yourself in either of our classrooms or at our adult campus, take a quick look at some equipment and you should see little about inch and a half by half inch orange stickers. So those are our little metallic asset tags that the team has gone out and affixed to all of our equipment that's $500 or more and an individual piece so that we have that. We have a database with all of that information in there. So now that we can begin to go to our teachers, we're going to set a review process schedule. so that we can go to about 30% of our teachers. We're going to do about in thirds is the easiest way to do it. So each year we'll do an audit with about a third of our staff in their classrooms, and then we'll just roll that audit to make sure that equipment is where it needs to be, it's functional, and it's being used by kids. So.
Is it cold? The air conditioning, it's freezing.
Yeah, it is freezing.
I never get cold.
Right, but I have it on warm. As warm as it goes. Isn't there an off button?
Just on a side note, I do need to leave at 11, maybe the worst, 11:05.
Okay.
But you could probably vote on things without me.
Yeah. So we'll fly through the rest of this real quick here. So
thanks. Don't encourage the mic. I just wanted to give you all a heads up.
Okay. Sounds good. So D, implemented two-year budget. So this has been an ongoing process. So you can see a list of the items that were a part of that budget, some of the major projects. We've talked about a few of those coming to fruition at the end of this year. Several of those have already come to be. So we've been on target and on track with continuing and using those funds in the best way possible. It's really, really quite amazing to go to some of our labs. When we take our WAS team around, that was another piece that they really commented a lot on was the level of equipment and access that our kids had. So we're super proud of our spaces.
Just a quick question.
Yes, ma'am.
What are, like, the Marco Forrester Career Center, what's going on at the Career Centers?
That's one of the middle school spaces that is going to be a joint space with their counseling department and our CGSs. So when our CGSs go down to the middle schools and have, that's a space now that we've kind of put our stamp on, if you will, mm-hmm. that kids can come to and interact with our folks to begin to have the conversations that we've been talking about looking at pathways. It's a space that our CTE teachers have access to. So if they want to do something that's a little different from what their room is set up to be, if they're in a photo lab and they have computers on all their desktops, but they need a space to go to work with their kids in a more open setting, that's a space that they have access to. So it was the first step into the middle school to see what that would look like. So we'll be looking at its use and kind of evaluating whether or not that's something that we want to go forward with. But this will be the first one that's coming online.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
All right, community engagement, expanding on our partnerships. So we've talked about most of these, and I've sent these in various board updates throughout the course of the year. So you know that we established a relationship with Marriott this year. We had kids go out to the Marriott a couple of different times. We have a great partner there. Finoc that we just talked about, that actually comes with some industry connections. So that was one of the pieces I told these guys, I'm not going to buy this and put it into our schools unless you come to the table with some companies that are willing to partner with us right out of the gate day one. So that's happened. So
is the new, by chance, the new Marriott in San Juan, it's boutique, are they, I think they're short-staffed, like non-stop. Are they interested at all? I feel like we could capture some students, you know, versus we're very coastal with these other
organizations. You mean the Inn & Commission?
The Inn & Commission.
Yeah, we've done tours with them before.
Okay.
Field trips.
Because they're a whole different, vibe. Right. They help.
Yeah.
These are students.
Yeah.
Actually, do stuff.
Keep working on it.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's a problem, though. They don't have any staff to train them.
So they don't have a staff.
Yeah. To take on to someone. Yeah. So we're.
Yeah.
Right.
You
know,
you go on Yelp. You're like, oh, I went there to eat, and no one came out.
Yeah. For internships, staff that's willing to take on when they're hustling 1,000 miles an hour, sometimes it's tough. Yeah. We've talked several different times about Mission Hospital going forward and working with them. Trying to get a hold of them. They've gone dark a little bit in the last couple months, so we're trying to get them re-engaged, but we'll get there. We have a new program that we're partnering with at Saddleback, so it's an extension program for our engineering program. So kids that matriculate to Saddleback and choose to enter the MAP Squared program, it's a paid apprenticeship, two-year apprenticeship, as they progress through a transfer program at Saddleback. So they've been doing some work coming to our engineering classes, talking to our kids and painting that picture for them.
Is Saddleback being responsive to you? And mm-hmm.
We actually have been doing a lot of work with Saddleback. Mm-hmm. Carrie Irwin's kind of our primary contact up there. She's great to work with.
Always say Saddleback, and of course it's the South Orange County Community College District, so it's mm-hmm. IBC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then they have that other incredible building in Tustin.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
And then as Gary will remind us every time, they have $1 billion in reserves. So, and a board that never gets asked to do anything, where we got beat up every day.
Yeah.
So just kind of vented there for a second.
Yeah.
So I saw the word Saddleback and triggered.
Yeah, you can see their money anytime you drive to their campus and you see three brand new buildings going up.
They pay out out of pocket. Mm-hmm. They just pay. Yeah.
So. We approached them just the other day. I called Carrie and asked her if we could utilize a space there for our back to school staff meeting. Mm-hmm. She said absolutely. So we went over and visited. They have a great room. They're going to give us in their main building, and no charge for us to come over to get our. And then they're going to do tours for our staff. Anybody who wants to stay and tour some of the new spaces that they've got. So they've been good partners. They have been. Let's see. Okay. So B, utilizing current partners to arrange some additional opportunities. So we've kind of talked about that a little bit. We were able to get back into the Waldorf over at Monarch Beach with our adult program. We had a couple of students that had graduated through that program. Dom and I were able to go over and be there for their ceremony. Really cool the way they do it. You know, I mean, on TV you see a lot of times the hotel, they're all getting this massive circle in a room. They actually do that. So they're all their department heads, and they just go around. What's going on today? Well, Miss Jones is coming today. We all know Miss Jones like is a gazillionaire. So housekeeping, you need to do this, and spa, you need to do this. And I mean, it's almost like the hotel shows on TV. It's the real stuff. Yeah, it was really cool to see. But they were very, very complimentary of our first initial students we got back in. Then we got a line that they might be interested in. Re-upping our high school program that fell away over COVID.
That's great.
Yeah, so that was great to see. So we've got those going on. Our Toyota dealer over here is looking at doing some additional things with us. He brought a couple of kids on over the summer that were interning during the year, and the kids approached him and said, "Hey, I love doing this. Can I keep coming after school's done?" He's like, "Yeah, but I'm going to pay you. I'll hire you, and you can be an employee," kind of thing. So it's just so great when we find business partners like that. And he is absolutely fantastic.
Do you have any of the other dealerships stepping up or no?
Yeah, our BMW, we have a graduate from our program that is now the shop foreman at Crevier.
Okay, good.
And he comes to all of our advisories. Last advisory, he rolled up in a brand new 7 series with all the color changing interior, let the kids climb it all over it. And so he always, and he speaks to the kids directly, like, 10 years ago, I was sitting in the same chair you're sitting in, and now here I am on the shop foreman. So listen, learn, do, come see us when you're ready, all of that. So they do have some good connections. Yeah,
it's really. Well, hospitality, have we talked to Yada Glen? It's not a hotel, but it's, you know, similar, and, you know, we know somebody who owns it.
Where's this?
Where? Yada Glen, it's out Ortega Highway. It's actually a senior... long-term, it's not assisted living. It's kind of sort of like Laguna Woods, kind of sort of, but not exactly, because it's got like restaurants and that kind of stuff in it. And one of the San Juan Capistrano City Council members is more or less the owner of it. And I know he has been interested in having high school students there. I don't think he's looked at it so much as careers, but he's a parent in the district, and you know, he's interested in helping kids.
Yeah, that's not one. Is that one you guys have ever bumped into?
No,
I haven't.
No, but I think we mentioned it. Like we talked about maybe at some point having, sometime getting culinary set up so that they could go through different things, and that would be one of them. You know, they could go through a hotel, they could go through, you know, restaurant, they could.
Well,
let's
talk about it after.
Yeah,
I want to talk to you anyway.
Yeah, that'd be a good. That'd be a good contact to get for sure. Okay. All right. So moving over to item C. So updating curriculum based on our partner recommendations. So I was going to let Dom speak to this. Dom spearheaded our industry advisory that we just had over Capo Valley, which was attended really well. So
yeah.
Dom.
So Wednesday, May 10th, we held our advisory meeting, and the K-12 the coordinator, Dave Foster, he reached out to all the chambers of commerce, and we've gotten some members of industry from that. So they also came into the advisory meeting. Our teachers also, they have really close connections with people in the industry when they rotate their internships, and they have that connection with them. So we brought a lot of members in there. So we had about 50 people attend on May 10th, and we focused on 7 industry sectors. We got all the feedback from all the advisors. We got all the feedback from the advisors. We collected all the meeting minutes, and myself, Paul, and Dave, we checked in all the meetings to make sure that everything was going smoothly, basically. And so, after collecting all the meeting minutes, Kim, myself, and Jill, we met and we reviewed the minutes to look at the recommendations and see what our next steps are moving forward. If we're going to implement these recommendations, and then we're going to connect with the teachers and make sure that this is what, how it's going to go for the recommendations, and make sure that everybody's on the same page. And our next step will be to send out thank yous to all the advisors for attending the meeting and let them know that based on their input, this is the outcome of this meeting. So we've, you know, this is the first year taking it back. Years ago, we had our advisory meetings, we held it at CCA. In 2020, the K-12 pathway coordinators, they took it on, and they did it for all of the RMPs, and so it was kind of out of our hands. So this is our first year kind of bringing it back. So, you know, a little bumpy, but we got it going, we got it done, and moving forward, we're going to have this process in place. So everything went
really well. Yeah, well, one of the things I love seeing, too, is a lot of the industry advisors that came back were our former students.
Oh, wow.
So now there are folks out there on the job. We have, you know, folks that have gone on to LVN and now they're nurses at the hospital and they came back. Or we've got a couple of guys from auto, so they come in. So it's really great to see folks that are ours. And now they're back on the other side of things, helping out and giving back to the current students, which I found just absolutely awesome. That was like the best.
I am going to have to keep going. But okay. Just on the side note, we don't have to go into it now, but construction, right? Mm-hmm. So trades, internships, you know, I sat through a whole presentation of our main union representatives here and basically the state and Orange County too. So, you know, I know we're a little challenged with that, you know, more or less. Mm-hmm. With that, and I mean, half of, I think San Clemente swings a hammer, so, you know, just kind of challenged on that part,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Seeing that. So, all right, well, I'm going to get going. Thank you all so much.
Absolutely.
This is
incredible. Thank you for being here.
If I don't see you, have a nice summer.
Thanks, you too.
I'm going to go where it's warm outside.
I know, seriously. My toes have frostbite.
Thank you.
What you guys are talking about, I think it feels great.
Too.
So D, going through there, we've talked about most of D through our other reports. We talked about the road shows, we've talked about WASC, we've talked about our open houses. So the last open house we held over at the adult campus, we got, how many registrations did we get from that, Dom?
26 registrations.
We did an open house, got 26 on-the-spot registrations for our adult campus program, so that it was a great outcome for our event there. So I won't go through all of those, but just to say that we're continuing on with things that we know work. We're always evaluating our program. So if we're doing something that's not working, then we powwow and we decide whether that's something we want to continue to do or do we need to modify that to make it better going forward, because we don't want to be wasting people's time and money and energies to do these things. But so far, most of the structures that we put out there are having an impact, a positive impact on our enrollment and our kids. So we're real pleased with the outcomes. And we talked about WASC having over 60 people there. We, you know, the open house, we had about 80 or 90 folks come through. We get 26 registrations, so it's a 25% turnaround off of doing that, which is an incredible percent. Yep, so lots of hard work. These guys are always hustling, along with Jill and Catherine and some of the other team that's not here today.
So I can add to the open house. We had Christia, she's a consortium member for the Southland County Regional Consortium. There's seven members in that consortium, or one of them. So she represents, you know, student support, and so she was there at the gate and signing everybody in, and she let us know that she was very impressed by the number of people that were coming through, and they were all referrals. They were referrals. It was like a friend or somebody took a class or somebody's uncle. Just, you know, it was 90% referrals. So we had people coming in and attending. So yeah, so she commended us on that and
That's
brought
great.
Back the consortium also and bragged about them there. So it was cool.
Thank you.
So there we go. That was long. I know. I apologize.
No,
but
I love it. Well, you know, it's good work, and we appreciate what you do. And I think we're just building on where we were, where we are, and we're just moving forward. And I love it. I love the changes in making things more correct, right, so that the pathways exist and sharing out and training counselors in all of our schools, because it's super necessary. And I really like to see the ICANN program in back to school at the elementary schools and middle school, because I'm not a middle school for ICANN, but to have a booth at Adam so that we can share out. And so it does get, because a lot of times we're talking to juniors and seniors, wait, what? I didn't know that, you know. So the sooner we can get it, then the more times it gets in their heads. Not that we're not doing that, but just starting a little sooner would be great. So thank you. Okay, moving on. We have resolution 322-23 here in internal transfers. Any discussion or questions on this?
I would move approval on that. Second.
Okay. Moved and approved. And can we have a roll call vote?
Trustee Davis.
Aye.
Trustee Jones.
Aye.
Trustee Perry.
Aye.
And Trustee Vickers.
Yes. So, Trustee Hanchick not here. All right, thank you. And let's move on to resolution 422-23 salary schedules. Any questions or comments on that?
I move approval.
Second. Wonderful, we have approval in a second.
Trustee Davis.
Aye.
Trustee Jones.
Aye.
Trustee Perry.
Aye.
Trustee Vickers.
Yes.
Okay. And on item 19, the calendar for 22-23 school year. Any questions or
approval on that? I'm fine with this as long as it works out for Olivia Beach.
They make accommodations.
Yeah. Okay, good. So I will second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
And a vote of 4-0.
Yes. Is that the end?
Okay. Could I have a motion for adjournment?
Second.
And the meeting is now adjourned at 11:04. Thank you.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it is. Works. Somebody's always not being able to do that or not. That's next door. They're having a Title I meeting. This will be a